We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Hello and welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Soccer Show. We're talking Saturday's DraftKings slate at DraftKings Premier League. I'm joined by Jordan Cooper, is back. Ryan Belangi is here as always. Welcome to the show, guys. Jordan, what's been going on? Have you been having any success with Premier League, or have you just been focusing on UFC? What's going on with you?
No, I've been playing the EPL slates. I've been in ups and downs, a little, you know, lose some, win some, whatever. You know, you do good double ups, but you lose on one big head-to-head and just like back and forth. But I mean, I won some money in MMA, won some money in NBA the past month. We got, we got a straight shot every Saturday for the next, I think, 5 weeks until the last Sunday, 10-game slate. King of the pitch. I got one ticket at least. I'll be trying to get my little extra tickets for that slate. And maybe it'll be Saturday.
We're getting tickets tomorrow. I can confirm that one. So we got to talk about Manchester United here. 2.38 implied goal total. That's going to be the main thing. That's going to be where people look at for cash games, tournaments. It's going to be where people look at. But, I mean, all season it's kind of, you know, you got Cristiano Ronaldo -210 odds. But, you know, he's been hit or miss. 8,900 here. 9,300 for Bruno Fernandes. Where are we starting to look at forward here? We got pretty expensive Arsenal and Brentford guys. So is Ronaldo the first look?
Cash games are going to be interesting. I think there's some clear options, but I don't think there's a clear construction. I think no matter what you do for cash games, at least on DraftKings, you're not going to be comfortable with your forward spots. It's not like one of those slates where, oh God, we got set piece takers in forward slots and I could just accumulate some points. You're going to be playing goal scorers in your forward spots most likely. And with Ronaldo being a -210 anytime goal scoring odds at 8,900 on this slate, it's hard for me to envision. There is a construction without Ronaldo that we'll talk about if you want to start jamming in midfielders. But I still think that even just from a blocking perspective, on this slate with those goal-scoring odds, he probably should be over 10,000, but he's not. We always have Ivan Toney there at 9,500. I'll always say that based on his odds and based on the Brentford not being the greatest of teams, why is he 9,500? And then anytime I say that, he goes out and scores a hat trick. So feel free to do that if you want. But to me, the forward position for cash at least is very. I mean, what Ryan? If you had to prioritize playing Ronaldo in the forward slot, this is for cash games.
Yeah.
Or Bruno Fernandes in a midfield slot. There's constructions that you could use both. You also have Telus at 7,000 in the defender spot. So he's expensive also. If you could only play two of them, I lean, this is how I lean. And I'm not, it's not a heavy lean. But it's a lean. I lean towards Ronaldo plus Telles and leave Bruno out.
Yeah, me too. Even for cash games, which is kind of weird to say. There's, like you said, there's pretty much no forward that you're really comfortable with in cash games. None of these forwards you're like clicking on confidently. There's no high floors, really. It's a lot of goal scorers. So Ronaldo just either as a blocker or just because there's nothing else. I mean, you're not like giving up anything by playing Ronaldo over somebody else. And, you know, those are big goal scoring odds and a good chance to score two goals even. So, yeah, I would do it just to block and I would do it just to win. If he scores two goals, you just win. So, yeah, I think I'd probably prioritize Ronaldo and Telles out of those two.
I think it's primarily down to a positional scarcity thing. It's more like we'll talk about midfield. There are options at midfield that are cheaper than Bruno that are cash-like options. And at forward, there aren't any. And defender, Telles is by far the highest ceiling defender on this slate. So if you could get 15-plus points out of a defender, like that's going to put you so much further ahead. I'm on – but since you mentioned that, Ryan, I give you the biggest credit to your defender. Like it used to be on DraftKings that, oh, let me just play the cheapest fullbacks, right? Because they have more open play value. And since defenders don't score that many points to begin with on average, if I could just spend $3,600 for 5 points, like I'm fine. And then I could spend up in all the, get all the set piece takers and all the stuff, good stuff in all the other spots. You've awoken me to the fact that, well, because defender, it's hard to get a lot of points at defender. It makes it more important to get the defenders that get the most, because you could separate yourself so much more at the defender spot than you can at any other position other than forward. Only because forwards have absurd ceilings, 2-3 goal type ceilings. So that's the main reason why I look at Ronaldo due to positional. If you don't play Ronaldo, you're going to be playing another forward that has no floor anyway. Even if you pay down, why not spend that money in the slot that there's nothing to play there? And the same thing for Telles, because really outside of Telles, maybe two other guys that are okay. You know, we got some 4K guys that are like, there's nothing to write home about, but you know, we do have midfielders to play. And I'd rather not be the one. I'm not going to play Kieran Dowell at 3,100 at the midfield spot just so I could like pay up everywhere else.
Right.
I'd rather get good midfielders on this slate.
Yeah. I mean, you said it. There's more midfield options than there are forward and defender options. So those are the positions you should probably prioritize. I agree.
The problem I'm finding, I feel like I have a good build for a cash lineup for the most part. Like, we haven't really talked about Martinelli here at 7,100 at forward. He seems like a pretty safe forward option here, taking set pieces. I mean, the numbers really haven't been there, but in the last few games, but Southampton set pieces, he's taking more than Saka there. And like, why is Saka 9,100 and Martinelli's 7,100? So you got that difference there. But I keep coming back to, like, in my final spot, I'm sitting around, like, no matter what I do, between, like, I don't know, 5,500 to 7K, and there's not really, like, a guy that you want there. Like, I fell into Rashica. It's like, I don't want to play Rashica at 6,500 in this spot. So it's kind of a slate where you see a build that you like, but there's maybe one spot that something's not working here. So that's kind of what I feel like a lot of people will run into here, at least for cash games. So,
yeah, I would say just Martinelli, he seems like a fine option, but you know, I don't know how safe he is necessarily. If you look at his log, you know, he's been getting subbed. Arsenal haven't been playing that well. So, I mean, he's fine. Like, I wouldn't mind it. He's cheaper than he's been, and he has upside too. But I wouldn't necessarily feel confident going there. Rashica, yeah, I noticed that he didn't really take set pieces. Kieran Dowell took set pieces over him. Maybe they split. I'm not sure, but Dowell took more, and yeah, away to United. There's just no reason to do that. I agree. Like, none of these guys really stand out. Ismail Assar, I was all over last week. I think, you know, a lot of people were. He was popular.
He was really popular in cash games.
Yeah. Turned out Watford played pretty bad. Sar did have, you know, arguably the best chance in that game, though. He was through on goal, probably should have scored, but blasted it wide. So, I mean, if that goes in, we might be having a different conversation this week. Home to Brentford is still okay, and Sar, you know, at least used to be good, but I'd be worried about how bad Watford have been. Maybe they're just that bad. So I don't really want to – yeah, there's no one here I want to prioritize. I just maybe go all the way down. Could even play Josh King for 4,100 if he starts.
The thing about Sar, being that you're watching the games more than I do, Sar typically is, like, I call very similar to, like, Richarlison, like the Eden Hazard, guys that dribble the ball at their feet, try to win duels, and they get fouled a lot. They get a lot of time of possession. Is it that the way that Watford are playing now compared to what they played the past 2 years with them, you know, fighting relegation, that Sar is just not getting really – they're not playing in a way that benefits his style, and that's the reason why he's only scoring, you know, 4 or 5 points peripherally. Right? We've seen games, I mean, where he could score 16 points without a goal or an assist. Right. In games where Watford at least is pushing forward and constantly getting waves of attack, it doesn't seem like Watford is playing that way anymore.
No, yeah, you're right. It's definitely cost me. Watford have just, at least last game, they didn't have possession. They didn't really create chances, which is weird too, especially at home, and they go down a goal early. It's almost just like they couldn't do it. Just looking at the game log, two of those recent games were at Liverpool and at Manchester United. So you'd kind of expect, you know, worse floors in those matchups. But yeah, it's not I guess the same Watford or the same Sar we're used to. It just, I guess they're just really bad. I guess I don't know what else to say besides that. And they don't create a lot. They don't have a lot of possession. Yeah, I don't know. So those guys become more goal dependent. So I guess there's a chance.
Yeah, it's either like Roy Hodgson, that effect has something in there probably, but you also have Sar. He missed like 3 months of the season for, I think it was a hamstring injury. So like you have that, and he really hasn't looked like he did earlier in the season. So like he hasn't been. So while he's back from injury, like he missed, I don't know, the first 2 months of training under, maybe not 2 months under Hodgson, because this is already their third manager of the season. So you got that in there.
You know, Hodgson probably has a decent amount to do with it. I mean, yeah. We're used to him managing Palace for all those recent years. And
yeah, I mean, you compare
those guys, they never had any possession. They were so inconsistent. They barely created any chances. It's, you know, sit back and defend. Don't give up goals. Try to hit him on the counter. You know, he has the philosophy that, like, if I'm managing a bad team, the first thing to do is not let the other team score. And maybe, you know, you can nick a goal late. So, you compare
this season Palace to last season Palace, and, you know, that kind of – it's kind of what Watford's here, and Hodgson was brought in to not have Watford relegated, and clearly that's not working. But speaking of Watford, so we got Sar here, 5,900, Pedro, 5,700, Dennis, 55, and then King all the way down at 4,100. So many people used Sar in cash games last week. Do we think that he's just going to be completely avoided just because he failed everyone? Or no? Just be given the odds, given his price, given what he's done for the whole season, people are still going to be using him? That's what you think, Jordan?
I think the popular combinations in cash games will be a combination of four players. Ronaldo, Martinelli, Sar, and King if starting. King would be the pure punt of, like, if he scores a goal, great.
King is the Chris Wood of this slate.
Right, exactly. That type of player. But But I think the popular combination is going to be Ronaldo Sarr, based on, you know, obviously getting a more expensive midfielder into your lineup and getting Telus into your lineup. You're probably Martinelli, maybe a little bit too expensive. And it's not like Martinelli's that great. Like he's there. In that range, I prefer him over the options that are there. Maybe, like, Lacazette is not really a floor. Like, I could see Lacazette being more popular in GPPs than in cash games. But I think GPP, I love this slate for GPPs. Absolutely, because we can get so much concentrated ownership that I'll mention the three guys that I, if you want to call, like the most, that I think are the best GPP plays on the slate.
Your favorite plays?
My favorite play, but what I expect ownership to be. Like, yep. Anytime I say favorite or like, that means like who I think is under owned compared to their ceilings, and leverage based on this. I think clearly, the two best, and they're eligible at midfield also, but you'd play them in the forward position. Clearly, the two best GPP plays on the slate is Alondra and Sancho. Like, I mean, there's nothing with Ronaldo and Fernandez being going to be like absurdly high owned, like taking the other Man United attackers, like they score a goal, it takes a goal away from someone else, and getting that, maybe you could even play them together. You could play them with Ronaldo, you can play them with Fernandez or whatever, but I don't think I will be building, like, I think I'm building five or six GPP lineups. I don't think I'm going to be building a single lineup that has more than one of Telus, Fernandez, and Ronaldo. Right, it's going to be one of them and then one or two, you know, like try to make combinations that Man United score four goals, but Sancho has one goal and two assists. Alondra has a goal and an assist. Ronaldo only has one goal, which may be fine, but for 8,900, you may not need that. His 18 points may not be necessary on the slate. And Telus has 16 points with an assist and a clean sheet and you know, that type of game. So I'm more likely to play Telus with these players than Ronaldo or Fernandez. So, like, I'm looking like, man, come from this situation. A lot of people will come in with the with all those three guys ownership and go, well, why don't I just fade Man United? Well, you can do that. You could play for a Norwich 1-0 win. You could. That's a very lower likelihood outcome to happen. I'm playing for Man United win 3 or 4-0, and it's just that it doesn't go through. Maybe Pogba scores, right? I think he's a little too expensive in the midfield spot if he starts, but he may be under 10% owned on a three-game slate, right? Play Wan-Bissaka, right? Play Wan-Bissaka, play a defensive Man United stack and just play one of the play Alonga and forward, and that's it, and hope that, you know, the fullbacks are the ones with the assists. Maybe Wan-Bissaka gets a goal from 24 yards out or something. I mean, there are multiple ways for Man United to win 4-0 that don't include, like, the chalk pieces going off. And then the other, which I think is under the radar. I think if you just look at the underlying metrics, it's quite possible that Sarr, in that price range, there may be a slightly better cash play.
Wissa.
But you have to take the risk on the smaller sample size. And that's Yohan Wissa for Brentford. He's the same type of player, right? And he's essentially the Sarr of Brentford. He plays in that style. He's been playing 90 minutes when he does start, mostly. And if you think Brentford's a much better team than Watford, even though Watford's at home, Brentford is favored in this game away to Watford. By very, very, it's a pick'em type of game. People know Sarr. That's why, you know, based on his 2-3 year sample size, but go like, okay, let's take a shot on Sarr again. If he gets me 5 points, it's not the end of the world. But I know that his capability is 20 plus in some games. I think Wissa has that exact. He plays exactly the same way. So if you have the Brentford side of that game, I think Wissa ends up being, you know, could easily just be 5% owned on this slate. And it's quite possible that Wissa is a better cash play than Sarr. I'm not sure if I'm willing to risk that, knowing that more people will play Sarr than Wissa. But my gut, my mathematical gut says that Brentford are a better team than Watford, and that Wissa has a more than 50% chance of outscoring Sarr, assuming that he starts, that if you play that one over the other, it's probably a plus EV move. I've not seen Wissa play. I could only go by his metrics. But Ryan, am I making that right assessment about this guy?
Yeah, that's a perfect assessment. I believe he was Brentford's record signing. Yeah, he's brought on or bought for that reason to be like their Sarr. You're exactly right. I think those were great points. For cash, it just, I don't know, it's sort of, you know, I don't play cash, but it seems just kind of like an unnecessary risk. I don't know. But I see what you're saying. If there actually is a greater than 50% chance, or even...
Isn't Sarr a risk in cash games too, though? So it's not like...
No, but it's the ownership. Like, what he's talking about is, like, I think if people will play... Sarr will project better based on his sample size, and Sarr will be more owned. I could see in cash games Sarr being 40% owned in cash, and Wissa being 3% owned in cash.
Like,
because
people
will just click on Sarr. So from a block, it's the same thing with Ronaldo. Like, if I told you Ronaldo was going to be 80% in cash games tomorrow, and you're like, well, I think a better construction would be to pay down twice at forward. It's like, is that a necessary risk for double ups? If you're playing triple ups and above, yeah, go do that. But for double ups, you just block with Ronaldo. And if he scores 2 points, it doesn't even kill you because everyone has him.
Right. And then, you know, then you go for Wissa and you get him right and he puts up 10 floor points. And then Sarr gets a goal and you lose because he's 35%, you know?
Right, right. That's why I said it's an unnecessary risk for cash. But I get the sense that if you believe Brentford is a much better team than Watford, Wissa would be a better play on average than Sarr. So that's why for me in GPP, it's a no-brainer.
Man, that's especially true for GPPs. Those are the exact type of things, yeah, you should be looking for every week. You know, Wissa's ownership should be in GPPs, you know, a fourth or a fifth of Sarr's. I don't know, you know, something.
Well, it's going to go up now that people listen to this show.
Okay, but a little bit and still not really, you know, like you say, most people don't really listen. They already have their mind made up. They're just, you know, looking for us to confirm a few things they already think. But yeah, I think as far as United and how this, you know, GPP strategy, yeah, I think Telus is the one I wouldn't want to fade, but Ronaldo and Bruno are great fades. Yeah, I mean, this same sort of slate we've had a few times, not so much recently, but I remember United at home to Watford, United at home against somebody else, and it really hasn't ever worked out for the chalk. United hasn't been that great, so... Those guys, Elanga, Sancho, Rashford, whoever starts, yeah, they're all cheaper than Ronaldo, and they'll be way less popular. So that's a strategy I'm looking towards. I was somewhat worried you were going to mention those expensive Brentford strikers.
Look at the diff. Look, I'm looking right now at the RotoWire cheat sheet, which you can get if you're a subscriber to RotoWire. It's really cheap. Really, the price should be way higher than what it is. If they're like $4 a month or something, it's someone should talk. RotoWire, you've been bought, right? Maybe the price will go up eventually. But for the amount of soccer stuff you get at RotoWire is ridiculous. Get the rotowire.com/soccer trial. Try it out for 7 days. You get the cheat sheets
10
alone.
Days. 10 days.
10 days. All the information is there for you. It's like I could normally would look around everywhere. And then I could click on any person's name and then I go, oh, this is their, when they took set pieces, when they did, it's ridiculous how everything is laid out. You can find all the information yourself, but it takes you like 12 times as long. Asmali Sarr, plus 290 goal scoring odds. Yohan Wissa, plus 220.
There you go.
Martinelli, yeah. Plus 200. Right? Josh King, plus 260, but he's cheaper. Odegaard, plus 280. So, like, in that range over there, like, Wiss is actually cheap for his goal-scoring odds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point.
So, I was originally on the fade Manchester United train, and I've kind of thought about it more. I read Ryan's article, RotoWire.com, another thing we got. But because I looked at that previous matchup. Norwich put up a good fight, and they're still fighting relegation. I think Dean Smith will have his team ready. But I think the only chance – well, maybe not the only chance, but even if Manchester United, they lose 1-0, like, I think they're still going to rack up a ton of opportunities. Like, we saw a recent Norwich match. It was scoreless. They gave up, like, 30 shots against Brighton. So I think – that's kind of why I was originally, you know, going to fade these Manchester United guys in cash games, but that's probably not the best idea just because it doesn't seem like this is a spot where even if it is scoreless, they're going to have – Telles is going to have 10 crosses. Bruno Fernandes is going to have crosses and shots. Like, these guys are going to get opportunities even if they don't score. So that's one of the worrying things. And also back to one of Jordan's original points, I did want to say that there's a small chance – or there's a chance that Rashford starts too. He's 7,300, so that would, like, if he starts over Elanga, he'd give you $800 savings there as well. So I just wanted to mention that.
Right, just understand that Sancho has more of a chance to play 90
mm-hmm.
than the others because Greenwood is out.
Definitely.
Yep. Yeah, so we talked about a lot of forwards here, and the big thing with midfielders, we've been mentioning Bruno Fernandes, but we have the guy, James Ward-Prowse here, 8,300. Home against Arsenal, and one of the first things I did was put him in my lineup. I looked at Arsenal, see what they've done without Kieran Tierney, without Thomas Partey in the midfield, and, you know, it hasn't been as good as they were. So I looked at that, but then, you got to compare it to Fernandes, 1,000 less, you know, better matchup for Fernandes. I think it seems like people will be on Fernandes more so, at least in cash games. Even though he's 1,000 more, but what do you guys think?
You mentioned two guys, but I think I'm playing a different guy and not playing either of those two guys in my cash.
Well, you're going Eriksen at 7,500. You're fading both the other guys then?
Why not? I mean, if you're going to play Ronaldo and Telles, it's going to be very hard for you to play. You can't play two of these guys. Like, that if you want to play a construction where you're playing two out of three of these guys, you're either going to not play Telles or not play Ronaldo like that. And when you don't play Telles, it's not like you're going down to a decent defender. You're going down and you're punting. Right. And if you're not going to play, if you're going to go from Ronaldo, you're going to play a lineup like Sar King or something like that, a dinky do lineup. Then of course you could get all three of these guys in if you want. I don't think based on positional scarcity, that's the best way to go. Even though these are the three guys with the highest floors on the entire, I think these three guys plus Telles have the highest floors on the entire slate. But from a ceiling perspective, Fernandes obviously has the highest ceiling, but it's also the highest, you know, price, 9,300. Eriksen, when he's on the pitch for Brentford, Eriksen is James Ward-Prowse. Like, he's that style of central midfielder that gets forward and does everything. Right, we're used to that from when he played, you know, for Tottenham. When he played, I view Eriksen on Brentford more similar to Eriksen for Denmark than I do that. Oh, it's on Brentford. Like, who cares? Like he's going to play 90 minutes and he's going to do everything. Brentford is playing Watford; they're slightly favored. Southampton's at home, but they are a dog, and they gave up six goals to Chelsea. I don't know how attacking they're going to be, even though Arsenal is banged up. I'm not saying Arsenal keeps a clean sheet or anything. Just I think that the ceiling for Ward-Prowse is the lowest out of the three. And at that mid-price range at 8,300, I feel like I'd rather either find the 1,000 to get Fernandes or save 800 for Eriksen, and then make sure all the rest of my slots in my lineup are all correlated correctly like that. And to me, Ward-Prowse is the odd man out, but I'm not sure. Yeah. Remember, I'm a big James Ward. I'm in James Ward-Prowse. You trust, you plug him in, you get 12 points, right? Type of thing. I think I feel safer with Eriksen than I do with Ward-Prowse. I think I get the same floor, but higher upside with Eriksen for 800 less.
I think this is, because we have the other options in the midfield here, I think this is the James Ward-Prowse PK match, and he's going to get a PK, and that's going to screw some people. So, Ryan, go ahead.
you know, yeah, I tried to switch allegiances to James Ward-Prowse last week, and it didn't go my way. No, not that that matters for this slate. I agree. I do think he's kind of the odd man out.
That's why he's going to get that PK.
Yeah, you know, sure. But just comparing him to these other guys, Bruno's matchup is just so much better. Like when you were talking about how you were considering even fading United for cash, it's just not a good idea because the United at home to Norwich is just much better than any of the other two games. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of floor points, even if there's not goals, like you said. And then, yeah, Eriksen, very similar to Ward-Prowse, and him and Brentford are playing well. You know, and the Ward-Prowse has the worst matchup. Like I'm down on Arsenal, but Arsenal will still be, if Arsenal put Granit Xhaka back in the midfield instead of left back, and play Ben White at left back, they'll still be the team on top in this game, and Southampton will be defending for more of it, even though they're at home. So Ward-Prowse is, yeah, he looks to be the worst out of the three, but even though his salary is down now, and yeah, taking all the sets, making free kicks on penalties, you know, seems like a good tournament play. But if we're talking just cash, yeah, I like the other guys too.
Yeah, Ward-Prowse, he had 7 corners earlier this season against Arsenal. Last season, he had 11 corners through 2 matches. So it seems like, you know, you're gonna get the 11 points or whatever from him, but are you gonna get the upside? As Jordan was saying, Eriksen probably has better upside and he's cheaper and he has
Look at that. We gotta use the cheat sheet, people. Ward-Prowse, anytime goal scoring odds +400. 20%. Telles has better goal scoring odds than Ward-Prowse. Sarr has better goal scoring odds. Broja, I mean, obviously there. Odegaard does, +280. And he's in that kind of that range. We could talk about him. Christian Eriksen, +200. Okay? +400 versus +200. And he's $800 cheap. I mean, just simply by, if you're going to tell me this James Ward-Prowse PK garbage thing, like, why doesn't that apply to Christian Eriksen either? I mean, like,
he doesn't take PKs.
Yeah, but he takes free kicks. So I mean, if you think that the sports betting market is somewhat efficient, I mean, we always see like guys like Jorginho and those types of, you know, defensive midfielders with peak penalty duty, always with decently higher goal scoring odds because of that. But +400 with PK duty doesn't sound like upside to me. That sounds like
you know, I mean, saw Naby Keita with +200 odds to score midweek here, and I don't think the sports betting market is efficient in terms of these goal scoring odds.
Yeah, so just one thing I'll throw in there, and people, you don't have to consider it if you don't want to, but I was basically feeling how Jordan is about Eriksen, you know. This is the Eriksen for Denmark. Looks really good. But I watched all of that Brentford game last week at home to West Ham. Really good. Yeah, 14 floor points, 8 crosses, 2 shots on goal. Just the one thing I want to say is I was surprised at how deep he played for most of the match. A lot of times he was the deepest. Jan Elt was always furthest forward. Norgaard got forward. It was tilting me because I thought Eriksen would be more involved in open play. I'm not saying that's, you know, that should prohibit you from playing him in tournaments, but it was something that I noticed. That's all.
All right. Can't argue that. So we got these three guys, the expensive guys. I feel like you either want these three guys, or you kind of want to go down. I think that's kind of the route in the midfield. I mean, you have the Odegaards at 7,200, Pogba 6,800. I mean, Stuart Armstrong 6,000, but you could go those guys. But you can also, if you want to spend down at your second midfielder, you could go down here. We got Imran Luzaip here, possible set pieces at 4,300 for Watford. That's probably the cash move if you want to spend down, I'm not sure anyone else in terms of cash games really stands out. I mean, I guess I played Norman last week for Norwich and he got that assist for me, but it's not the same situation at Manchester United. So, I mean, do you guys, anyone else you want to talk about here, sub 5K range, or Jordan, you mentioned if you want to talk about Odegaard here too.
I mean, Odegaard, I think, is a GPP option. I think you're more likely to play Odegaard in lineups where you're not playing Ronaldo. So you can get, like, I don't see a situation where I'm playing a lineup where I'm plugging in Odegaard over Eriksen, Ward-Prowse, or Fernandes. It's the type of thing where I'm playing one of those big three and Odegaard and then fading a high-priced forward for two cheaper forwards. Like, I could see that type of build. I think at the bottom end, I think for cash games, Luza, I think he's going to be popular. I think he's perfectly fine. More of a, I'd be more likely to fade in GPPs. I mean, his upside, he plays deep. If you're not going to play Luza, based on advanced metrics or whatever, but the underlying metrics, Gerard Kuchka gets forward a lot for Watford because Luza will play beneath, you know, deeper than him. In a competitive game against Brentford, he racks up points across the board. He gets fouled. He draws fouls. He takes deep shots. He touches the ball a lot in the midfield, and he gets forward. Now, is his goal-scoring odds very good? No, right? If we take a look at plus 550, which is not absurdly bad, but 5,100, I think he's slightly overpriced. But, I mean, he probably should be in the same range as Luza or something like that.
Luza's 40 plus 1,400 to score.
Luza's plus 1,400. Kuchka is plus 550, right? So, like, Luza, because of the set-piece duty, has a higher floor. But Kuchka, I mean, when he plays, he typically plays 90, right? He's going to do much more than Musa Sissoko in the midfield. So, like, and I think he'll barely be owned at 5,100 at that price. Now, I mean, if he was 6,500, I'd say there's no way you'd pay that price for him. But most of my lineups, when I'm going through and building them, I'm stuck in, like, my utility spot is going to be somewhere in that range a lot of times. Is going to be in this 5,000. Now, a lot of people are going to play a defender in that spot. We'll talk about defender in a second. I think the defenders in this range are better than the midfielders in this range. Like, if I had a choice this slate, I'd probably play defender in the utility more so than a midfielder in the utility, unless you're playing big midfield. Unless you're playing, you know, we're trying to jam in, you know, three of the big three or four, Odegaard or something like that in. So I think a lot of these midfielders are going to go, like, overlooked, but most of them don't have ceilings. Like, I'd Janelt, not really a forward. You know, if you're playing Eriksen, you're probably not playing Janelt. We're probably not going to, yeah. If Juan Mata starts, obviously he's going to be in my lineup, but he's not starting.
He could, he played last game.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm looking in this range, like, you want to take a shot on Matic if he starts or something like those types, like, I guess. But really for me, like either I'm playing a defender in this range or I'm playing one of the two, the Watford midfielders.
Right. This range is kind of so bad, but that's a really good point. Kuchka being a little bit overpriced as to, you know, a reason to roster him in tournaments, because there's really nothing in this range and he at least has a little bit of upside and won't be owned. So, I think that's a good call. Janelt, yeah, he's not somebody I want to roster, but he definitely has goals in him. The way this Brentford team's playing and where he's been playing. I don't know. You briefly mentioned Kieran Dowell, 3,100, took most of Norwich's set pieces and played 90 minutes. That, you know, that seems pretty decent on paper. I don't really want to play anyone on Norwich, though, away to United, but I don't know.
He got 6.5 floor points in a 2-0 win against Burnley.
If he gets that in there, if he gets the monopoly of set pieces from Norwich against Man United, that may be
two corners.
Right, yeah. Right. That may be two.
Okay, Right. There's the one thing I'll say is that Lise Malou scored in like within inside 10 minutes or something. So, yeah, I don't know. It might have affected things a little for the Norwich set piece takers if they're defending
yeah.
after that.
Well, yeah. So I guess in this situation, you know, Manchester United score early and Norwich, you know, they need points because they're sitting bottom of the table. So you figure they're going to push, but how much does that even mean? So.
You're right, that there's no one down here. Oh, Luza, yeah. Luza seems like a good cash game option. You brought up those plus 1,400 odds. You just want to say Watford had a free kick just right outside the edge of the box, maybe 20 yards out. Luza steps up with the left foot and shaves the crossbar. So the goal could be there. But, yeah, it's going to come from a set piece.
Are we betting plus 1,400? Is that what you
said?
No.
I don't think we are. I don't think we are.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Owning a small business can be overwhelming. How can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy. Get Constant Contact. There's so many places to reach customers. Email, text messages, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, live events. The list goes on. How are you, as the business owner, expected to own all of those channels? That's where Constant Contact comes in to help. With Constant Contact, you'll reach new audiences, grow your customer list, and communicate more effectively to sell more, raise more, and fast-track growth. I use this to grow my email list, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
All right, so defender Jordan, you mentioned possibly playing three defenders on this slate, and I kind of found it kind of difficult to find actually three defenders. Like, you got Telus, I think that's pretty clear. You're going to want him in cash lineups, will be the most popular guy. Cedric is up there, 4,900. And I mean, I don't know who else I really like. Femenia here, 4,700. You got the set pieces, but like, what else does he do? I don't think it's that good of a slate for defenders. Like, I went down personally to Rico Henry here at 3,500.
You're mentioning all the guys. You see, you did all four.
Yeah, but do you want to play three of these guys, though? I don't know.
No, it's in comparison to the midfield. It has nothing to do with I like defender. Okay. It has to do with if I'm going to play a four.
If you have 5K in your utility, is what you're saying.
Right. I'd rather play. Like we mentioned Kuchka. Like, from a floor perspective, I almost would rather. I'd play Cedric over him at 4,900. And if I'm stuck in that range, maybe I just play Rico Henry at 3,500 and upgrade my goalkeeper to De Gea, right? For the clean sheet odds for Man United are like nearly 50%. Their win percentage is 78%. I mean, De Gea is clearly by far better than any other keeper on this slate. I mean, for a clean sheet, at least for 10 plus points. So it's like, that's what I'm looking at. Like, if you're 4,300, would you rather play Luza or Kamara? Like, you'd rather play Luza, but it's not like that dramatic of like, oh my God, it's such Granite a clear choice, right? So like, all these defenders, like, if you wanted to play a Southampton fullback at 4,300 in utility, if you already had Luza in your line, like, I don't consider that to be bad compared to the midfielders that are four. I'd rather play one of these guys than a defensive midfielder at like at 4,000, right? Essentially, that's what I'm saying. They're better than Kieran Dowell, right? And if I'm not, and if I'm stuck in this range sometimes, I wouldn't put it. If you wanted to play Telus in one spot and a central defender and play some $2,500 guy or something like any, just the cheapest, the central defender, I don't think that's that bad this slate. Cause I think the other than Telus and maybe Cedric, I don't see unless obviously luck goal, you know, most of these defenders have plus 1,000 plus, you know, goal scoring odds, like barring some type of big, you know, it's just a random goal from a fullback or something or a center back. Like, I don't think any of these guys have ceilings, right? So it's just like lock in the Telus, maybe Cedric, and then now you may have a utility spot with 3,800. Like, maybe you have a utility spot with 2,700, and you just like, here's central defender, and be done with it. Like, you know, versus like, imagine playing a central defender, like a $2,800 central defender and De Gea, or Frazier Foster and a $4,300 whatever. Like, what's that $4,300 whatever? Assuming you have Luza in your lineup. Like, nothing. So I'd rather just play the better goalkeeper and just, like, can this guy give me 3 or 4 points or something? And that may be fine.
Yeah. So one of the reasons I like this slate is defender. Like you said, it's Telus and maybe Cedric. So let's just say it's Cedric. Then there's nobody else. So it's just easy for me. And there's a good chance that Telus and Cedric could just significantly outscore the field. And if, you know, we say maybe Cedric, let's say he's splitting set pieces, and if he turns out okay, then he's clearly better than you know, Femenia or these other fullbacks. I think Juan Bissaka would be okay too, but even still, there's two or, you know, two good defender plays that might stand out. I'm just going to jam those guys in and, you know, figure out the rest of my lineup.
Right, you want to go the direction of making your what you're doing is saying these are two of the clear best plays. So even if Telus is, let's say, in GPPs, in like the large field, if Telus is 64% owned and Cedric is 40% owned, you do have the chalkiest combination, but that means 60% of people don't have Cedric and 36% of people don't have Telus. Like, you're just saying those lineups are mistakes. Like, right, I'm benefiting from the fact that this should clearly be the, let them try to get lucky with some 8% owned whatever or 2% owned center back and just try to run you down. Go, I think I could get 25 points total from my two defenders. Good luck trying to do that.
Exactly.
And trying to beat me that way. Like that, that's your mentality on
this. That's a good point. I don't mind that they're popular. Like, to me, the defender points just in general are sort of easier to predict and less variable than the other positions. It's usually just a mistake. And I like when sort of two defenders just stand out because I have a lot less decisions to make. I can just jam those guys in GPPs, and then I can, you know, I'll have more lineups than I would if I had to switch defender. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Then so you can just differentiate yourself by the forward, by, you know, playing Sancho over Ronaldo, by playing, you know, pairing Eriksen with an overpriced Ivan Toney that may be underowned. Even though, dude, Ryan, that slate, like, at that price, Tony's still not going to be low. Like, it's amazing because I've seen it.
But you're right.
I'm going, like, who's paying this price for Tony? And then I'll look, he'll score two goals and he's 28% owned. And I go, I thought, like, so that's killing me?
Yeah, it tilts me to no end, Jordan. I couldn't believe it the last slate too, when he had that hat trick or when he had that brace. He's always popular, and he's even somewhat popular in the high stakes stuff. So there's just no chance I'm ever going
to. I was playing a head to head. Someone had him in a head to head that slate.
Right.
Hat trick slate. I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing, how am I losing this $215 head to head?
Oh, man.
Right, like, how am I losing this to a $9,200 Tony goal?
Right.
Like, Like, so I'm sitting, so like, it's not the type of thing where even at 9,500, like, that's why, like, I look at Johan Wissa and go, okay, I could do some type of Brentford stack, right? I could play Henry plus Eriksen plus Wissa, right? Plus Raya, you know, you do that whole thing, Brentford, you know, 1-0, 2-0 type of win. Like, that would be bad. Then you look and you're like, well, Tony has anytime goal scoring odds of plus 145. Yet I almost can't click the name in my lineup.
Right, right.
So I've been trying I'm having trouble here with trying to put Cedric into my lineup because I just didn't like it at first.
Just click on it. It's not that hard.
I'm trying to figure it out. I'm looking at the numbers. I pulled up crosses allowed to defenders this season. So Cedric's best games have come against Watford, Brentford, and most recently they had that Brighton game. Watford and Brentford, worst in the league at allowing crosses to defenders. Southampton, they are the 7th best team in the league in terms of the amount of crosses they allow to defenders. So, but on one side, you know, Cedric has the upside that he can, you know, put in 15 floor points. Because he's done it. But on the other side of that, like, you're paying 4,900 for it, and he could have...
That's cheap.
It's the fact that he took the set pieces. I mean, you know, it's somewhat of a risk. I'm not playing it. I'm playing him assuming he's taking half of the corners. I mean, in a matchup where Arsenal, you know, is favored and should be on top and should create more of the chances. I mean, against Brighton last week, 10 crosses. I think he took 5 corners, 4 shots assisted. So, like, I'm playing for that Cedric. The Cedric that you're talking about, like, yeah, I'm not hoping that he's going to get a bunch of crosses from open play. Southampton might not allow many crosses, but I'm not necessarily hoping for that. I just want 10 points, and he can get there with corners and whatever else.
All right, so for goalkeeper, it's pretty clear he's going De Gea, and then he's going to put in Harry Maguire at 3,900 here to get that clean sheet goal as well. So is that what you're doing?
Oh, the center. What is that? What you're doing with the center back? I don't.
No, that's what you're doing. You're doing the center back goalkeeper pairing.
No. What you'd be doing is you'd be playing. Okay, let's see. I got to check on heights here. Now, what you do is you pair Eriksen with Pinnock or Jansen.
Oh, wow. We're going Brentford. Okay.
You go Brentford, right? Because if you're playing Eriksen for set pieces, then you go there. Because if you're playing, like, who are you going to play on? Unless you're playing Bruno plus Telles plus Maguire, you're not going to be able to know who's going to be get the assist on that cross.
Wow. Jansen's 2,600. He had 4 shots a couple starts ago. This is a pretty clear move.
Right, he's questionable though, but
no, he's fine. He had an illness.
There you go. There's the how tall is Penn? Is he? It seems like typically these Nordic players are bigger than. So I'm assuming Jansen is taller than Pinnock. Like when in doubt,
Pinnock is 6'4". Pinnock is 6'4" and Jansen 6'4". They're both 6'4".
Oh, they're both big guys. So you have to split the for your exposure between the two.
Yeah,
the 2 1% don't center backs.
Yeah, so for goalkeeper, we got De Gea, best clean sheet odds, 48% at the moment. Everyone else below that, 30% for Arsenal and Brentford. So what's the move here? Jordan, play whoever you want. Do we consider Cruel here, hope for the 5-save game and only allow 2 goals kind of a thing, or what are we going with?
I think the 2 most popular goalkeepers on the slate will be De Gea and Forster. Not Ben Foster, but Fraser Forster. It's the $4,200 goalkeeper, and you're more likely to be playing Man United in your lineups and Brentford and Watford players in your lineups than playing Arsenal players in your lineups. So, like, the most popular Arsenal player may be Cedric, and then Lacazette, and then Martinelli. Like it's enough that unless you're playing an Arsenal stack, if you're playing a Man United stack, you're probably not playing any Arsenal, so you're going to be playing Fraser Forster if you're paying down, right? I think the Brentford and Watford goalkeepers will have about the similar type of ownership. The lowest owned goalkeeper will be Ramsdale to pay up for Arsenal garbage defense, so away. is it's going to be low owned. If you want to pair Cedric and if you want to play Cedric and Ramsdale together and pair him with like Lacazette for, you know, a 1-0 type of game, you can do that. But I think Ramsdale is significantly the comparison, the price difference, 5,900 versus 5,300, $600 isn't enough. De Gea probably, if Ramsdale's 5,300, De Gea probably should be 6,600, right? Based on the clean sheet odds.
Yeah, I mean, Raya has better clean sheet odds than Ramsdale, barely, but still.
Right. Actually, the clean sheet odds, even for Ben Foster for Watford is 27 versus Arsenal's 30, right? Like the difference in win odds, I mean, win chances 48%. It's like other than, unless he picks up a lot of shots or whatever. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't play Ramsdale. He just will be the lowest owned and the most overpriced relative to his winning clean sheet odds. So, but for me, like we've mentioned a lot of players from all these other games other than Arsenal, right? Like I'm more likely to play like Alanja or Sancho, play Man United, but get different rather than fade Man United, stack Arsenal, right? Because Arsenal's pieces are about as expensive as Man United's. So being that I'm going to be more likely to just try to get different with United, play more Brentford, I'm more likely to just have Fraser Foster in my lineups and just hope, you know, Southampton, it's a 1-0 game, Southampton keep a clean sheet. And, you know, Fraser Foster's sitting there with, 16, 18 points because Arsenal are going to shoot a punch.
You could also save 100. There's a chance McCarthy starts. He's back from a hamstring injury, and Forster did just give up 6 goals. So you could save $100 there, too.
Yeah.
Ryan, what do you got? Who do you like?
I agree with Jordan's breakdown on the ownership. That's exactly how I think it will be too. You know, people look at this slate, they want to play Man United, then that means they're probably not going to play Arsenal. You need money to play Man United, so you pay down, but you can't play Cruel, so you play Forster, who's also at home. Yep, just makes sense. Raya.
I keep coming back to Raya. It seems like he either gets a clean sheet or he makes 5 saves kind of a thing.
I like Raya for tournaments, you know, pairing him with Rico Henry, who we mentioned also looks good for that cheap price. But yeah, I'll try to get up to De Gea if I can. You know, it's keeper. Everything Jordan said, I feel the same way.
Yeah, Raya with Pontus Janssen. There we go. Perfect.
And Eriksen, you have to put Eriksen in.
And Eriksen, we need Eriksen. Yes, right? Yes, of course. All right, we got.
But then a little bit, what will end up happening will be one of those classic, the Burnley, right? The Burnley Tarkowski to me, the near post header, goal assists. I hate that for Burnley does that, where it's the near post header to the other center back, and it's like Ben Lee scores from an assist from James Tarkowski, and you're sitting there with like Ashley Westwood, and you're like hockey assist, and you get nothing for that.
That just happened. I remember that must have been last week, and I had someone, and yeah, it just happened because the guy taking the corner didn't get an assist on it. But all right, we talked about a lot. As you said, we didn't really mention a ton about Arsenal. We got Saka, Odegaard. I mean, I guess we talked about those guys. I mean, Lacazette, there's a chance he doesn't start, so we could see Nketiah or Eddie in there. He's at 5,200, so he could. I mean, if he starts, he could be someone that, you know, is one of those dinky-do 5,200 forwards. But you guys have any other last thoughts here on the slate?
There's one guy we didn't talk about that no one's going to play for tournaments.
Mbeumo,
you know, I was jamming Mbeumo in all the time when he was 5K and 8% owned, and you know, Brentford would get an early red or he'd get an early injury or he just never would do anything. And now all of a sudden he's 8,700 after a goal and 4 assists. Yeah, just no one's going to play him. I mean,
he's going to be 4%.
Pair Mbeumo and Tony together, and you paid for 2 overpriced players. He's and he'll get there anyway.
He's definitely too expensive, but I'm more likely to roster him than Ivan Tony tomorrow.
I think the move is, well, I guess you do 2 of the Brentford forwards, and then you just plug in Pinnock and Janssen. So you get the the center back goal assist combo, but then you get Brentford's other two goals from Tony and Mbeumo, or even Wissa in there. So
you got Mbeumo, Tony, Saka. You overpay for Saka also. you play Kieran Dowell, right? Because you're gonna have to pay down.
Yes.
Right. You play Krul and Dowell. You play Ben Gibson for the center back goal from Kieran Dowell to Gibson goal. And then I don't know who else is
probably Krul in there too. You get that clean sheet.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah, you pay down for Krul.
Yeah.
And you play and Kuchka, you got to play Kuchka, right? You play a little bit up for that. And
I guarantee you no one is going to have that lineup. So, I mean, that's probably going to be a winner.
700 points lower than anyone else's.
All right, that's all we got for Saturday's April 16th DraftKings slate. The schedule is going to be picking up here. Not sure if it's next week where we have four games, but slowly there'll be four games, maybe five, and then finally we'll have 10 games. But we got three games this week. I saw the main contest was a $20 entry. It seems like they brought that up. I feel like it's been 16 recently, but rotowire.com, as Jordan was saying earlier in the show, rotowire.com/soccer trial, free 10-day trial, no credit card required. You can use the sheet that we've been using if you're watching on Twitter or YouTube. And hey, it's been, we talked a lot in depth. We got a lot of information out here. So hopefully we will all be on the leaderboards. We'll all be getting those tickets this weekend. And
don't dupe me. No, I want the ticket. Don't dupe me.
I'm definitely not duping your lineup of whatever you just said, but I mean,
yeah, I'm playing that in $150 King of the Pitch.
That's a winner. All right, but Ryan, Jordan, Ryan is at Ryan Belongi, Jordan is at Blender HD on Twitter. I am at Roto Zdroik, and thanks for watching, and thanks, guys, for joining me. See everyone next week.
Thanks, guys. Good luck, everybody.